Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 200 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, wow, 200 episodes. I can't believe we've done that many podcasts. When we started this website back in 2018, I had never before done a podcast, so it was all new to me. But it's been a lot of fun to do them, and I think we've had a lot of great guests over the last 5 years. And tonight, we were supposed to have six more guests on tap for you as we're combining last week's podcast into this week's to make it a mega podcast. But unfortunately, one of my guests, Ankeny Centennial Boys Golf Coach Rick Fee, who just announced his resignation last week, has had to pull out at the last minute. He had to deal with a family situation. So unfortunately, we won't be able to talk to him tonight, but we'll try to get him on here in the next couple of weeks. But I will be talking to Ankeny sophomore Evan Hodapp later on. He qualified for this year's state golf meet as an individual. And I also have a special guest from Coldwell Banker on. But right now, we're going to focus on girls swimming. My first guest tonight is in his first season as the head coach of the Hawkettes. His team is currently sixth in the state power rankings with 3,407 power points. He is Justin Crouch. Justin, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys have a big week ahead of you, but before we look at what's coming up, let's briefly recap your season thus far. Your team has a 3-5 dual record, including a 1-4 mark in the CIML conference. But I think those records are a product of your schedule. Four of your losses were to the top four teams in the rankings, Waukee, Dowling Catholic, Johnston, and Ames, and the other one was to number 9 Valley. So you guys have certainly seen all the top teams, haven't you?
Yeah, the Central Iowa Metropolitan League, the CIML, is a really difficult girls swimming conference right now. In years past, the west or the eastern side of the state has really had some great teams too, but this year it's really been dominated by Central Iowa, which is a blessing and a curse because every night you have to swim the top competition in the state, apparently. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a pretty young team. You only have 5 seniors, and you returned just 6 state qualifiers from last year's squad. So you definitely had some question marks coming into the season. Do you feel like this team has made a lot of progress, though, since the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I do. We leaving from Michelle's coaching philosophy, leading into mine, the girls did it was a seamless transition. The girls really responded well to my coaching, I feel. We've looked at a lot of different things and a lot of different skills early in the season. Where could we get better? Where can we find some time? And for the most part, they listen very, very well. They do everything we asked them to do every day. It hasn't maybe necessarily shown in our win and loss record, but it definitely has shown in the results. I feel like we are in a prime position to swim really well at the end of the year.
Well, your team is coming off a 128-58 victory at Southeast Polk last Tuesday, and that was your first conference win. You know, it had to feel good to get a victory after going through that gauntlet of teams that you had faced earlier, huh?
Absolutely. Swimming in the CIML is not necessarily a curse. It's more of a blessing because it shows you right where you need to be. We swam against toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the state. Obviously, Waukee's a head and tails above everybody, but we didn't back down against Dowling. We didn't even back down against Waukee, but we swam as hard as we could every night. And the meets have been fairly close, so...
Well, you'll be competing in the CIML conference meet this week. The diving portion of the meet will be held on Tuesday at Waukee, and your team boasts one of the state's top divers in Hannah Kohlers, and we'll be talking to her here in a little bit. She is currently ranked 7th in the state in the 6 dive event, and she's 18th in the 11 dive event. You know, I'm sure you're hoping to get some big points out of her tomorrow night, aren't you?
Absolutely. She is a phenomenal competitor, very brave on the board, something I can't coach or would want to coach because it is not my forte, doing the aerials and the in the air off the diving board. It's impressive what Chris has done with these girls in a short amount of time.
Well, your team will then host the JV conference swim meet on Thursday before hosting the varsity meet on Saturday. Do you feel like that gives you much of an advantage to be swimming at your home pool?
You know, I think it's always great to swim at home. Trail Point's a wonderful facility. We're very blessed to have a place where we can call home that has a great competition pool. If that gives us home cooking, I don't know. I just hope it eases the pressure a little bit. The girls have high goals, and they really have looked very tentative at times during the season in terms of being very nervous or very, very I don't know the words, I guess you would call it, but just very nervous. And I just want them to be relaxed. And I hope that being at home, having that familiarity would relax them a little bit, that we swim a little bit better. And the other thing I think we can really improve upon as we go forward and going into the next few meets is just confidence of where we've been and where we're going. I think that confidence is such a key, and comfort is such a big part of confidence. And if we can be comfortable and confident going into the regional and state meet, I think good things are in store for us.
Well, you talked about the strength of this league, and of course this meet will feature five of the top nine teams in the state, so it'll almost be like a mini state meet, don't you think?
Yeah, it's going to be tougher than our regional. I mean, the teams we're going to see at conference, we'll obviously see Johnston again at their place for the regional meet. But at conference, you know, they're going to still be tired. The varsity is going to be swimming tired. It's not their focus. Their focus and my focus is for them is on the regional meet. We're just trying to do the best we can each and every day, taking it one day at a time. You know, that coach adage, take it one day at a time. Just swim the best you can on that day. And wherever it ends up being, and the sun's going to shine tomorrow regardless.
Milwaukee is the defending state champion, and the Warriors are currently number one in the power rankings by nearly 200 points over Dowling. You know, do you feel like, you know, they're going to be the team to beat this week, and have they established themselves as the clear favorite to win state again?
Yeah, I believe so. They're awfully tough, you know. I haven't looked at their lineup a whole lot outside, because we swam them the first meet of the year. We got it out of the way right away, so that was kind of nice. But it did give us an opportunity to show where we are competitive at and where we can get better at. And so we took that loss early in the season, and we're able to use that as a positive and use it as ways that we could find ways to get better in our own swimming. So I think they're definitely the team to beat. But, you know, Dowling has some great divers. Johnston has some great swimmers too. They're going to be pushed in individual events. Will they get beat? Probably not. But that's the fun thing about sports. You never know.
Well, you said maybe you're not putting a ton of emphasis on this meet as far as your varsity goes. Do you just want to continue to see some improvement then?
Absolutely. My big goal is this. One, get through this meet healthy. Our focus is on regionals and state. Number two, maybe have a season best, but not by far a personal best. A season best time going into regionals, maybe a little confidence boost of a little higher seed to put us in position to get more girls into the state meet.
Well, you did find out on Friday that your team will be going to Johnston for the regional meet on November 5th. Johnston appears to be your biggest competitor at that meet. You know, were you happy with the draw that you got?
Absolutely. I was really nervous. I thought we might get shipped off to the east side of the state or up to Fort Dodge. Being at Johnston, only having to go 20 minutes away to compete is such a big advantage for us. I think that we'll have great competition there. Johnston has a great team with some really good swimmers. And then also Boone has some girls. Each team has some piece that can push us along the way. My goal for them is to try and maybe sneak a regional championship. Is that possible? Yeah. But we're going to have to swim pretty well to do it.
Well, obviously, one of your goals throughout the season is to figure out which swimmers and which events give you the best chance to not only get to the state meet, but then to potentially score some points. Do you feel like you have a pretty good handle on what you're going to do there as far as your lineup?
Yes and no. I feel like I know the girls that I want to be there, and I know the girls that most of the girls have a position on the team where they know where they're swimming. But there's a couple things that we're still eking out. There's some relays that could be adjusted. There's always things that could pop up late in the year that you never find out. You find out somebody does really well at one thing. And I guess throughout our season this year, we had to swim a lot of the same events over and over again. So we may not have a whole lot hidden at this point because we were what we were. We weren't necessarily a deep team with a lot of options. So to be competitive, we had to swim our best almost every night out. But the girls are coming on strong and swimming really well right now. So I feel like, you know, anything's possible with this group, you know.
Well, your team is currently ranked 7th in the state in the 200 medley relay, 9th in the 200 free relay, and 6th in the 400 free relay. So you have to feel good about your team's chances to place in all three of those relays and possibly even, you know, get into the fast heat of state.
Absolutely. Huh? The relays, they're so important. They're worth double points. My goal for them is to try and get all three in the top six. If we can get three in the top six, there's a chance we could do some pretty impressive things with a team score. Is that top three? Probably not, but is it top five? Definitely. I think if we can get three relays in the top six and then sprinkle in some top 16s and a couple top eights, I think we could definitely contend for a top five finish.
Well, one of your top individual swimmers is junior Anya Peck, and she's ranked 8th in the state in the 100 breaststroke, 11th in the 200 IM, and 12th in the 500 freestyle. So you've obviously got, you know, some different options with her as far as where you put her, huh?
Yeah. She is. She's got a motor. That girl is high energy all the time. Can be frustrating to coach at times, but all in all, a very, very good athlete. Also a cross-country runner. She's an impressive swimmer. And I joke with her a little bit. I call her a part-time swimmer right now because she shares her time with cross country. But to do what she does on the kind of workload that she has between cross country and swimming is pretty impressive.
Well, yeah, of course, this is the third year that she's done that. And it's not an easy thing to do, but she must have a pretty good handle on it, huh?
Yeah, she knows what's coming. I feel like she enjoys the challenge of two sports. Although Cog would probably not want me to hear me say this, I wish she could focus on swimming a little more. But overall, we have a good relationship with the cross country team, and she does a phenomenal job of splitting her time.
Well, one of your seniors is Rachel Rolo, who is committed to swim for Northern Iowa next year. She's ranked 18th in the 200 freestyle and 12th in the 100 backstroke. And I'm sure she's looking to close out her career by placing in both of her individual events, isn't she?
Yeah, that would be huge for her. She's looking at going to UNI next year, and she's walking on at this point. And who knows, maybe she can do some great things at the state meet and maybe earn a little of the scholarship money. I don't know. But for her to focus, just to get back to Saturday. Her goal last year was to get back to Saturday, and she came a little short. And I think she's put herself in prime position of coming back on Saturday and swimming really well both days.
Well, of course, last year when you were an assistant coach for Michelle Stout, this team placed 5th at the state meet. And you kind of touched on this earlier, but you guys, you know, did lose some key swimmers from that team. But you obviously feel like this team is maybe capable of getting another top 5 finish, huh?
Yeah, I do. We're going to have some breaks go our way. I mean, we're going to have some girls step up that may not be frontliners right now. But that's what the end of the season's for girls to step up and show what they got and see what they've got at the end of the year. And hopefully that equates to some success, yeah.
All right, Justin. Well, thanks for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
All right, my next guest is one of the seniors on the Ankeny squad. She is currently ranked 17th in the state in the 100 butterfly, and she's also a key member of the Hawkettes Relay. She is Carolyn Walker. Carolyn, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, how do you feel like the season is going thus far? Have you been happy the way that you've swam?
Yeah, I think our season's going really good. As Justin said, we went into the season knowing that we lacked a little bit of depth, but I think we've really worked with that, what we were given, and I think we've been really successful. And I've been pretty happy with the way I swim. My season usually looks a little bit different than most. I'm usually a little bit slow to the start, but we end with an engine, we end with some power, so I'm excited what's to come in the next few weeks.
Well, coming into the season, did you have some pretty high expectations for this team, or did you know, because it is a pretty young team, that there might be some growing pains?
Yeah, I knew there was going to be some growing pains, but my biggest thing with expectations is you only get out what you put in. So my expectations really came from practice and the work we put in, because success is not made in races, it's made in practice. So my expectations for the team were hard work, dedication, being self-disciplined, things like that. And I think that the girls did really, really well adapting to that, even at their young age.
Of course, Coach Crouch took over the program this season after previously being the team's assistant coach. You know, has that been a pretty smooth transition since he had already been a part of the program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Justin. I've obviously been swimming for him for 4 years now. So I think that it was a really, really easy transition. But even for the girls that are new this year and were only used to him for a few years, I think the transition went really, really, really well.
What were your individual goals coming into the season? Did you set some?
Yeah. So I have some time goals that I kind of are kept between Justin and I, but I also have some place goals. So at state, I'd obviously like to make it to finals both day. I'd like to make it back to Saturday. And then I hope our relays score some points at the state meet. And then I have some goals retaining to the mental side of swimming. So I'm a very mental swimmer. So things to do with like positivity and getting through the hard times and not stressing before my races and I being more confident overall.
Well, Coach mentioned that maybe you guys aren't putting a ton of emphasis on the conference meet this week, but what are you hoping to accomplish this week?
Yeah. Honestly, the last few meets, I've kind of been picking something to work on in each of my races and sticking with it. So at this point in my season, I'm not really too concerned with the times, more the effort and learning what I need to tune up for state and regionals that are coming up.
Do you feel like maybe you are ready to drop some time, though, or is that going to come maybe the next couple of weeks?
I would expect it to come in the next few weeks. We're working pretty hard right now, and I usually need a little recovery to whip that out. So we're going to see how it goes, though.
Well, of course, you're a two-time state qualifier in a pair of individual events. You placed 28th in the 50 free and 23rd in the butterfly as a sophomore, and then you took 11th in the 50 free and 16th in the butterfly last year. So are those the two events that you think you'll be swimming at the regional meet?
Yes, those will be the two events that I'm swimming at regionals.
And then you also swam on the fourth place medley relay and the ninth place 200 free relay at last year's state meet. And your team is currently ranked seventh and ninth in those two events respectively. You know, do you feel like you have a good chance to get on the podium in both of those events?
Yeah, I think there's always a chance. We have some young girls on those relays, but I don't think that's going to stop us. They've been working their butts off. We've been working hard and getting used to each other and how we swim. It's always a learning curve. But I think there's always a chance for us to get on that podium.
What did you think of your regional assignment? Are you happy to be going to the Johnston Pool?
Yeah, I love Johnston. I've swam there multiple times. And as Justin said, it's always nice to be close to home, sleep in our own bed, eat our own breakfast before. So I'm excited for it.
Well, Johnston is the only team ranked higher than your squad that will be at the regional meet. So it looks like it might be kind of a two-team battle there. Now, would you prefer to have an easy draw at the regional meet, or would you prefer to face, you know, some really strong teams because that might help you to swim faster?
Yeah, to be completely honest, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm not one to look at my competition because it is the race is about me and how I swim my own race. So I'm not really concerned about who I'm racing whatsoever.
Well, Carol, I know you told me previously that you're planning to swim in college. Are you getting close to making a decision?
I am. I actually made a verbal commitment this weekend, but I've decided to not announce that quite yet.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready to announce that. what were you looking for in a school? And, do you know what field of study you want to go into?
Yes. So looking for in a school, obviously academics are my priority. So a school that has my majors and is just strong in the subjects that I'm wanting to study. And then for a swim program, I really look at the people, the coaches who believed in me. And I just want to go to a place where I can improve and I can start at a high level. And then I want to double major in kinesiology, pre-physical therapy, and then sports psychology.
All right. That sounds like you got it all mapped out. Well, hey, good luck the rest of the season. Thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you so much.
You bet. All right. My next guest is also a senior on the Ankeny squad. She is the Hawkettes' top diver and a two-time state qualifier in that event. She placed 13th as a sophomore in 2020 and finished 21st last year. She is Hannah Kohlers. Hannah, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. We've had a great season thus far. You've won the diving event at six different meets. You placed second, third twice, and fifth at your other four meets. So have you been pleased with your performances thus far?
I am pleased with how I've placed at our meets, but at every meet, there's always a couple dives that I can do and have done better at. So I'm focusing on cleaning up all my dives so I can put it all together successfully at a meet.
Well, we talked with Carolyn about the adjustment with Coach Crouch taking over the team this season, but I know you also have a new diving coach in Coach Amundsen, who's also one of your teachers at Centennial. I know you told me earlier that he has made the practices really fun. So what does he do to make the practices fun?
He makes us laugh a lot, and we also play games such as like who can jump the highest, and we also have mini meets like within our own team.
I know you told me earlier, too, that you really like doing a couple of your more difficult dives, the inward 1.5 and the back 1.5 twist. And you told me that you were hoping to work on building your difficulty even more. So how many different dives are you capable of doing? I'm just kind of curious.
So I added a new dive into my list for the first time at our meet in Southeast Polk. And I also know that I have plenty of time in the air to do more difficult dives, like a reverse 1.5 or a front 2.5. But I'm still building confidence so I can throw these more difficult dives.
So at a meet, are you required to do certain dives, or are you allowed to pick all the different ones that you can do?
At six dive meets, you're required to do two dives from a specific category. For example, if it's front weak, I would do a front 1.5 and a front double. And then the remaining four dives have to be from three of the four other categories. For 11 dives, you have to do two dives from each of the five categories, which are front, back, inward, reverse, and twisting, and then a third in one of the other categories.
Oh, okay. I learned something tonight. Well, you'll be going to Waukee on Tuesday for the conference diving meet, and you already won a meet there earlier this season, although you told me that the board there was really bouncy, but I guess you'll be prepared for it now, huh?
Yeah, I am prepared for it.
Well, there are some outstanding divers in the conference. Dowling has three divers ranked among the top 13 in the state in the 11 dive event, including two of the top four. So do you think the Maroons divers will be the ones to beat tomorrow?
I definitely do think that the Dowling divers are the ones to beat, and it's going to be a really strong and consistent meet to be able to get close to them. Overall.
Well, we mentioned earlier that you guys will be going to Johnston for the regional meet. Do you like the board there, and what did you think of your regional draw?
If I remember correctly, I think the Johnston boards are a little stiffer, and I haven't been on them this season, but I've been on them many times in the past. I'm excited to go back. I'm glad we didn't have to go to Lemar for diving because I've never been on those boards.
Well, I know you'll see some tough divers there, including Abby Tollison of Marshalltown and J.C. Flockhart of Boone, so you're going to have some tough competition, aren't you?
Yeah, it will be tough with Abby and J.C. there, but I just have to focus on my own dives so that I can qualify for state.
I know you told me earlier, too, that you're planning to attend Iowa State and you won't be diving in college. You are planning to major in event management with a focus on sports events, so I'm certainly interested to hear more about that. So what kind of jobs do you think, you know, you envision yourself having in the future with a degree like that?
I'm definitely interested in coaching either gymnastics or now with my experience in diving. I also think it'd be cool just to work with teams in general, possibly as a manager.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Well, hey, Hannah, thanks for coming in tonight, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, well, my next guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and he's becoming one of our more frequent guests on the podcast. I believe this is his sixth appearance. He is Andy Logan. Andy, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me again, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, we'll talk some real estate here in a minute, but let's talk some golf first. We were supposed to have Coach Fee on the podcast here right about now, but of course, he had to pull out the last minute. He had a family situation to deal with. I did want to ask you about him, though. He announced his resignation last week. Of course, your son, Tate, is a member of the Centennial team, and he got a little bit of varsity experience this season. Were you surprised that Coach Fee resigned? Did you have any idea that he was thinking about it?
You know, we had an idea, but it's still a surprise. He did a great job while his time was at Centennial, so absolutely.
Well, I know you're a big sports fan in general. You know, what do you think of the state of college football in Iowa right now? It's kind of turning into a crappy year, isn't it?
It has. You know, they've both been so close, but yet so far away.
Yeah. Do you watch much of the baseball playoffs?
I have, and I'm a Dodgers fan, so
oh, no.
it's been a tough playoffs for us. So, but it's fun to see the other teams come in and play some good ball.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to watch too much because I'm a Twins fan, and after their horrific collapse down the stretch, I wasn't sure I could get pumped up to watch the games. But I have gotten into some of them. I'm looking forward to watching the end of the Yankees game tonight.
It's going to be a good one, absolutely.
Well, hey, let's talk some real estate. We're sitting here in the new offices at the Standard on 36th Building. Yeah, this is a pretty nice setup over here, isn't it?
It is beautiful. They've done a fantastic job over here, absolutely. Anybody looking for something newer and more modern, it's a fantastic building.
Well, you obviously do a lot of work with MJ Properties, so have you spent quite a bit of time over here in the building?
You know what? I have. I come over probably at least a couple times a week and sometimes three or four, so.
Well, I haven't seen these new units that they have in this building. Mm-hmm. I imagine that they're really nice, but if that's something that people are interested in, is that something they can come over and check out?
Absolutely. It's open all the time. They need to check out Andrew Huseman here. He's the manager of the building, and they have everything here. It's really, really nice. They have a boutique coffee bar. They have a boutique mailroom, swimming pool, dog park. Views of the golf course. It's a really fantastic building.
A fitness center, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, as we're starting to move deeper into the fall now, you know, are there some other properties that are kind of keeping you busy these days?
You know what we do? We had 15 at the start of the year, and we have five left now over on 29th Street. They're standalone villas. Fantastic units, anywhere from 1550 to about 1900 square feet. 3 to 4 bedrooms, and just a great, great product.
Any other properties you want to promote tonight?
Well, you know what? We're always talking about our properties throughout Ankeny. MJ has tons of lots that are available to us, so anywhere from probably about $350 to about $2 million, we're here for you. So.
Yeah. I'm about to check out one of those $2 million homes one of these days.
Yeah,
just for fun. I can't afford it. But you know.
Me too, Dan.
Well, hey, as the weather starts to get colder now, or, you know, over the next couple of months, do you find that maybe people are a little more reluctant to move in the wintertime, or is that not really the case?
People slow down a little bit, but depending on their situation, they are still moving for sure.
Yeah. Well, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they are interested?
Yeah, absolutely. If you need to get a hold of me, my phone number is 515-979-4494 or andy.logan@cbdsm.com.
All right, Andy. Well, hey, thanks again for coming in. I appreciate it.
Hey, Dan, it's always a pleasure.
You bet.
Thanks.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my final guest tonight is a sophomore on the Ankeny Boys golf team, and he qualified for this year's state meet as an individual by placing sixth in a district meet at Council Bluffs on October 4th. He then went on to tie for 58th place in Class 4A on October 7th and 8th at Elmcrest Country Club in Cedar Rapids. He is Evan Hodapp. Evan, thanks for joining me tonight. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season. Let's break it down a little bit. Now, coming into this year, your team returned Drew Henson along with several other guys who gained some varsity experience last season. You know, you certainly had to earn a position in the varsity lineup. Were you confident going into your first couple of practice rounds that, you know, you'd be able to do that?
Yeah, I was pretty confident I was going to make the team and make varsity.
So did you play a lot over the summer to get ready for the season?
Yeah, I played mostly every day with me and my friends.
Well, you shot a 79 and a 78 in your first two meets at Otter Creek, and then you carded a 75 and a 74 in your next two meets to place 10th at both the Fort Dodge and Waukee Northwest Invitationals, where you had the team's best score at both of those meets. So did your performance at those two tournaments kind of give you the confidence to know that you could play with some of the best players around?
Yeah, those two tournaments gave me a lot of confidence for the rest of the year and that I could stand up against the rest of the players.
Well, later on, you shot a 70 to earn runner-up honors in a triangular meet against Dowling Catholic and Valley at Willow Creek. Was that one of the best rounds that you've ever played?
That is my personal record for best round.
Well, you were back at Willow Creek a couple of weeks later then for the CIML conference meet, and on that day, you shot an 84 as your team struggled to an eighth-place finish in the nine-team field. So going into the district meet the next week, you know, where was your confidence level? Were you confident you could bounce back from that day?
Yeah, I knew I could bounce back from it and play better because our practice round, all of our whole team played good there. So I thought we were going to do really good, which I thought we did pretty good at Council Bluffs, but...
Well, yeah, in that district meet at the Bent Tree Golf Club, you shot a 1-over par 73 to earn your trip to state. I know you four-putted the second hole for a double bogey, but you played the other 17 holes in 1-under, so you just really kind of had to grind out the rest of the round, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Well, unfortunately, your team ended an up-and-down season by placing fourth in the district meet and finished just one stroke shy of qualifying for state. Indianola and Waukee Northwest finished 1-2 at the district meet. And I know you guys were pretty familiar with those teams, but you hadn't seen the team that placed third, Sioux City Helan. So was that the team that going into the meet that you thought maybe you'd have to beat to get to state?
No, they were not on our radar for having to beat them.
Because it was Valley that you thought you had to beat,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Valley and Norwalk.
Well, I know Coach Weddingfeld told me that it was, you know, a long bus ride home for you guys. You know, that had to be a really hard thing for you since I know you were disappointed for the team, but you still had to be excited about, you know, qualifying for state yourself.
Yeah, I was pretty excited for myself, but also bummed out that my team didn't make it because I'd rather go with them to state besides just myself.
Sure. Well, going into state, had you had a chance to play some practice rounds at Elmcrest?
Only one. They wouldn't let us after our district meet.
Gotcha. Well, you shot an 83 in the opening round, and then you followed with an 84 in the second round. And I know you told me that you had a hard time getting some putts to fall, but you did make a birdie in the final round on the par 5, number 15. So did you make a nice putt there, or did you hit, like, a great approach shot and, like, leave yourself a short putt?
It was a pretty good approach shot and just a nice tap-in birdie.
Those are always nice to have, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know Coach Weddingfeld mentioned, you know, what a different experience the state meet is with more people watching and all the state's best players there. So did you have any nerves that first day?
Yeah, I had a lot of nerves going through my body. I think that's probably why I didn't play so good, but.
Now, did you play with the same partners both days, or did they mix things up and have you play with some different guys?
I basically play with the same guys.
Oh, okay. Well, Reed Hall of Cedar Rapids Kennedy shot a 1-over par, a total of 141, to capture the individual crown by one stroke over Braden Nelson of Valley. And I don't know if you're familiar with Hall or not, but I'm guessing maybe he benefited from a little home course advantage there?
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure he played it some, yeah. Well, I don't know if you paid much attention to the team race since your team wasn't playing, but second-ranked Johnston posted a 595 total to beat defending champion Cedar Falls by two shots. Were you happy that one of the teams from your conference won the title?
Yeah, it makes us look a little better.
Sure. Well, I know you told me earlier what an amazing experience the state meet was, and you feel like, you know, you'll be better prepared next year when you're back with your team chasing the title. And considering that you guys will only graduate one varsity player in Avon Legg, you know, you're going to have a very experienced team coming back next year. You have to feel really good about the team's prospects.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident we're going to do really good next year and make it to state.
All right, Evan. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny girls swimming coach Justin Crouch, along with two of his seniors, Carolyn Walker and Hannah Kohlers. We also had Coldwell Banker realtor Andy Logan And then we finished up with Ankeny boys golfer Evan Hodapp. And like I mentioned earlier, sorry that we couldn't get Ankeny Centennial boys golf coach Rick Fee on the night, but he did have to deal with a family situation. So we'll try to get him on here in the next couple of weeks. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.